Imagine hopping into your car tomorrow morning, no suitcases, no coolers, no maps, and heading off down the highway towards a faraway destination that you've heard of and maybe read about but have only visited once or maybe never. Now, you may chuckle at that thought, but you know many folks approach a local homeschool convention with this very same mindset. And by the end of the weekend, they return home exhausted, poorer, and wondering exactly what they accomplished while they were there. Well, today, Jill, Kelly, and I hope to help you with your planning, packing, and actually making the trip to your homeschool convention. Between the three of us, we have over 30 years of experience as either a convention attendee or as an exhibit hall vendor, so we've actually seen the convention experience from both sides of the aisle. And hopefully what we're going to share with you today will help you to make your next convention trip a success. So to begin with, as with any trip, the success or failure often hinges on the planning you do in advance. So I'd like to begin our chat today with some pre-planning ideas. You know, Jill and Kelly, we took a family vacation to Disney World a few years ago, and it still amazes me all the books that were available at the time for planning a Disney vacation. You know, they included things like the best time of day to show up at the front gate. They gave you guidance in choosing the best sites to visit and those you should avoid, how to save money, the best things to wear on your feet, and they even included testimonials from people who had been there before me. So I think it's probably wise for us to treat a trip to a homeschool convention in a similar fashion to the way we researched for our Disney vacation.
You know, Judy, we did just the opposite one time. I blush when you said this, because when I was younger, my sister and I decided to take a trip from Michigan to Colorado, and we packed like you do, and we jumped in the car, and we got as far as Chicago, and she said, "Where do we go now?" I said, "But you had the map." No. I was like, "Oh, my gosh, nobody has a map." So, you know, that wasn't too good. We had to stop for help. We had to get a map. Not a good way to start out on a trip. Leaves you a little flustered and upset.
Absolutely. That's a very good real-life experience to make our point, Jill. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
I think we need probably to begin by setting some goals that we need to we want to reach by the end of our convention experience. So maybe we could take a few minutes to talk about goal setting for conventions. A few minutes spent jotting down a battle plan, so to speak, can really make the difference between a positive experience and a feeling of defeat. So consider the following questions as you think about going to a convention. Number one, what is your main reason for attending this event? Are you brand new to homeschooling and your convention visit is part of your research? Or did you have a discouraging time this past school year as a homeschooler and you're attending with the hopes of being encouraged and motivated, maybe by attending workshops or talking with other homeschoolers that might be there? Or maybe your curriculum choice for this year turned out to be a dismal failure and you're on the lookout for something better suited to your students. Or maybe, like some of us, you thoroughly enjoy homeschool conventions and you view this as your quote-unquote reward for the completion of a school year well done. Well, whatever your reasons, the important thing is to think through them in advance. Then spend a few minutes researching the event you plan to attend online. What speakers are going to be there? What will the workshop topics be? What vendors are going to be there? And maybe some very practical things like, where's the parking? And what hotel accommodations are available if you need them? Based on your research and the time you've spent doing it, you can now make a priority list. And at the top of that list should be those things that you absolutely must do before the weekend is over. Is there a specific product you just have to see, or maybe a particular vendor you really want to ask questions of? Make certain those items are at the top of your list. Maybe in your research you saw a speaker workshop that you just know is going to speak to your heart. Make sure you plan your time around that workshop. Once those priority items are out of the way, then you have the rest of the weekend to stroll and relax and enjoy. You know, somebody shared this word picture with me once, and it really helped me when it comes to making priorities in any area of my life. They told me, take a giant, large glass jar, then take 4 or 5 golf balls, and on them, write your individual priority items. Then drop them inside that glass jar, and on top of those golf balls, pour in a box or two of rice until your jar is full. Now, empty the jar and try the opposite. Put the rice in first, then try to fit in those 4 or 5 golf balls. Now, I'm sure in your mind's eye you can tell that that second scenario isn't going to work so well. There's just no way all of those priorities are going to fit. Well, I suspect you can see where I'm going with this. If you put the priorities, or the golf balls, into your glass jar first, your glass jar being your trip to the convention, then you can fit in the far less important items, the rice, than if you had tried it the other way around. And one final note, make sure that one of those golf balls is labeled with the words downtime. A homeschool convention can kill you if you don't make time to get off your feet and grab something high in protein to eat. So Jill, now that we've got our priority list created, how about you help us figure out how to pack for our trip?
Oh, I'm good at packing, Judy. Yeah, my kids say that I would be great at any game that has spatial relations because I can get the very last thing in the dishwasher that nobody else can. I can pack a trunk like you wouldn't believe. And when I talked about that earlier trip that my sister and I took that we didn't have a map for, we were actually going backpacking. And I used to do a lot of backpacking in my earlier days. And one thing I learned was you need to be have enough things to be prepared, but not have so much things that you're just weighed down. And my dad used to say, you need to have a shakedown the week before. You know, we'd put what we thought we needed in our backpacks, and then we'd see if we could actually carry it. And then we would take out what wasn't really necessary. Now, to go to a homeschool convention, obviously you're not going to wear a convention tote bag around all week. But what you could do is, starting about a week or so ahead of time, get the items that you think you'll need to go to the convention and just get them around a few days early, and then when something comes to your mind, put it in there. That way you won't forget it. My motto has always been kind of the Boy Scout motto, you know, be prepared. So first thing to do is think ahead about what kind of personal items will you need. Usually you need some kind of a small pen and a notebook, some place to jot things down, because likely you'll see things and hear things that you want to remember. Conventions just have all kinds of awesome things. You say, oh, I want to remember that. So have a place, a designated place, not just the back of a napkin or something, where you can write those things down so you can find it later. Also some mad money just for you, you know, to feed yourself. You know, you're a teacher. You can do have a little in-service money, you know, buy something, a book that maybe you think will encourage you or help you or those kind of things. Just plan a little bit of mad money because there's always something that comes up. And one of my really great tips that I see a lot of people at conventions do is to take address labels with you. So when you go to different booths and they say, do you want to sign up for this or that, all you have to do is peel off an address label, stick it on there, fill in the blank place that they have, and then you can go on your way. You don't have to spend a lot of time filling in your name and address in order to get, say, a free catalog or be involved in a drawing or something like that. The other thing, and this varies really a lot from conventions, different conventions have different rules, but if it's allowed, I usually try to take first and foremost water with me because those places are always dry and you get parched. And then things like snacks, like maybe nuts or dried fruit, something just to give you a little bit of sustenance as you go along so you don't get too tired and worn out. I would recommend that you eat sensibly. Otherwise, you're going to have physical and mental fatigue. It just takes a lot out of you. It's like Judy said, it'll kill you. It's exhausting. If you're thinking, you're walking, you're toting, I mean, it's a lot. Plan time. Put it right in your schedule where you're going to eat, where you're going to refresh yourself. Take money for this and estimate high. Convention halls are usually not known for reasonable food, and so you may as well just figure right from the onset that's going to cost you more than you'd like to pay for something to eat and something to drink, but just, you know, take the money so you'll have that. And then enjoy the journey. Don't be frantic. Enjoy the experience. I know sometimes I'll see moms come into my booth and they're just like, you know, just frazzled. And, well, they got to see this and they got to see that. Well, you know, just slow down and relax. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy looking at the other people, seeing what other people are doing, talking to the people you want to talk to. And if you don't get everything done, that's okay. Just relax and enjoy it. The other thing which as your physical needs that I'd want to consider is consider the climate. And going back to the backpack analogy, I can remember times where we were in, you know, t-shirts, just climbing along, having a nice old day, and all of a sudden there'd be like this huge black cloud, and then there'd be a hailstorm, and you're going, oh my gosh, this is like not good. So you had to have a lot of different types of clothes in that kind of a situation. Well, a convention hall is almost exactly like climbing a mountain as far as climate goes. It can be sunny and warm in one room and freezing in another room. They seem like they can't regulate the temperature at all. It can be, I've had times where I've had to actually just give my people that are working with me, I'll say, you know, put your coats on and stuff because they're just so cold and their hands are cold and we're buying them hot chocolate because their hands are so cold. And other times where you're just like sweating and you're getting everybody ice water. So dress in layers, comfortable clothes in layers so you can put on a sweater or you can take it off. Comfortable shoes. You're going to be on your feet a long time, so make sure you have comfortable shoes. And if you need Tylenol or Advil or Tums, if you are prone to needing those things from time to time, this will probably be the time you'll need them. So take them with you and be prepared. One thing I always recommend to people is to take breath mints. You can get really doggy breath as the day goes on, and it's just not fun to have people, like, you know, backing up from you every time you try to talk to them. So breath mints, chapstick, hand cream, artificial tears, convention halls are notoriously dry. They have very low humidity. I don't know why this is, but it seems to be the same whether it's in the spring or the summer or the fall. They're always dry. Some conventions allow you to bring wheeled totes, where you can actually bring in some kind of little wheeled cart to put your things in that you're either going to buy or pick up, and those are great. Some convention halls don't let you, so usually you can see that if you go on the websites, they'll let you know if they're allowed or not. But I recommend those, or a backpack or a good tote bag, because you're going to have things you want to carry around with you that people are going to hand out. And so now you should have your plan, you should have packed your supplies, and what comes next, Kelly?
You've got to navigate that trail.
Yes.
A navigator needs both a destination and a map. So Judy's already talked to you about the goals you set that would define your destination. The convention literature, whether it's the workshop list, exhibit hall map, or whatever brochure you receive from the convention organizers, will actually serve as your map. Now, I recommend that you start by looking at the workshop list, because workshops are generally offered at more limited availability, specific times. And again, you need to look at those, your priorities. What are your goals while you're there? Determine what workshops meet those goals. But I also encourage homeschool moms to think about their own nourishment, their own encouragement, and choose a session that will nourish you as a homeschool mom or individual. Perhaps it's a moms-only session just focused on encouragement. Perhaps it's someone talking in a way that describes something that sounds like it will renew your vision. Because when we get to the spring, if we've been homeschooling through the year, we're tired. And we need a little bit of refreshment and encouragement, and sometimes we need someone to wipe the fog off the mirror or the window and show us again why we're doing this. Don't use all your time at the convention on vendor workshops. Also look at training. You know, there are going to be a combination of workshops available, some of them by vendors, focusing on particular materials that they're offering, but usually there are general training or general information sessions, and you want to balance your time between that. But as you plan the sessions you'll attend, allow for time in the exhibit hall. I've actually been to conventions where the workshops almost went back to back, and there really was no downtime in workshops that would allow you to go through the exhibit hall. And we'd get through the end of the day having just been trained like crazy, and then, wait, I forgot. I missed that. And so you need to consider what time you will be spending in the vendor hall. Sometimes you'll find it's beneficial to consider using the time during a main speaker, maybe a general session, to actually go to the vendor hall. The hall will be quieter. You can purchase the session CD to hear that main speaker later on, but you'll have an opportunity to get through the vendor hall with less competition in the booth. And I always recommend, if a session speaks to you, if you go to a workshop and you're in an event where they are recording the sessions, purchase that CD to take home and listen to it again. You may be a great note taker, but sometimes you need to hear it again, or maybe save it for a month or so and listen again later for the encouragement. I always leave conventions, especially if I'm working in the vendor hall. I always go home with a supply of CDs from various workshops that interested me so that I can still feed and benefit as a homeschool mom. Now, remember the example of the golf ball and rice that Judy shared us. This applies to the use of your time and your budget. If there's a vendor you particularly want to talk to, that's the one that's written on that golf ball, then make the time to see that vendor as a priority. Perhaps that would be the one you would go to during a main speaker. If your event has a large exhibit hall, I recommend doing a quick sweep through just to see what's there before you actually consider doing a purchase. Keep in mind that convention specials, the vendors will be offering discounts or free shipping or something like that, are actually designed to add pressure for decisions. It's like the sale ads that come in your newspaper each week. You know, they're wanting to convince you you need to come in and buy this, or you need to choose now because the sale will be over later on. But really, when you're working with homeschool selections and convention attendance, getting a great deal on a product doesn't always mean that you've got the best tools for your need. If you especially have limited funds, then I recommend you don't buy any little items first. Remember that rice, it'll eat up the space or your budget in your time. You need to focus on the golf balls first, and then fill the gaps with the fun rice afterwards. I also encourage you to treat yourself to something that will minister to you. Homeschool moms deserve and need some pampering. So if you find something that just makes you laugh, if you find something that just encourages you and really seems to brighten your day, I would encourage you to invest in yourself as well. Now, of course, the sunlight booth is a great place to start. You'll find real homeschool moms who understand you, because we've been there too. And you'll find a display of information, and the best of all, no pressure to buy on site. I actually find that dads like to come into the sunlight booth because they know it's safe there. They can't buy anything when they visit.
That's what I say. I tell them it's the best booth in the whole place. You can't spend any money here.
But it's a great place to glean information, yeah, to ask questions, to see it and put your hands on it, and then consider your options later without having the pressure to buy on site because of a special convention special or discount. Sunlight offers their discounts year-round.
Well, ladies, it sounds to me like in a short amount of time we've covered all the bases we need to in preparation for our trip to a homeschool convention. So I'd like to make just one final suggestion. Take some time when your convention weekend is over and you're back home and you're into your routine to evaluate how well you met those goals that you set. Did you get to see everything you needed to see? Did you make those absolute must-buy purchases that you needed to make? Did you get all your curriculum questions answered? Hopefully, you were able to attend at least one encouraging and uplifting workshop to generate enthusiasm for the coming school year. So perhaps now it's time, after your convention experience, to make decisions about those big ticket curriculum purchases. But you will be well prepared to do so because you've made the time to research, you've asked the questions while you were at the convention, and you've come away with all the information you need. Hopefully your advanced preparations have saved you some money and maybe even some poor decisions. And more importantly, the three of us hope that you have come away from the weekend energized for the coming school year. Well, ladies, I think we've pretty much covered our bases. What do you think? Is there any tidbit or helpful hint that we've left out?
I can think of one, just that, you know, if you don't get it all done, there's always next year. You know, you don't have to do it all this year. Next year, there'll be another convention coming around, and maybe you can do some of the things next year that you didn't get to this year.
Good point.
That's a good one.
Oh, and let's not forget the most important convention tip. Be sure you stop by a sunlight booth when you're in the exhibit hall. Perhaps Jill or Kelly or even I will see you there.
That would be great.
Yep. Hope to see you.